This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Greetings, this is Harry. I represent the Reformed Church of Hastings, being one of the Reformed Churches of New Zealand. Our place of worship is 1234 Howard Street, Park Vale. You know, you're most welcome to join us in worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. and also at 4:30 p.m. Do join us. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Greetings again in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, problems and troubles. The world has troubles. The world has health problems. There are wars and rumours of wars. Even on an individual level, we ourselves, we all get into trouble. We all have troubles and problems at different times throughout our lives. Now, most of us would know where to turn for help. Otherwise, there are places which can direct us where to go for help. For example, if you have health problems, you go to your GP. If you have financial problems, you may go to your parents. You may go to a bank or budget advice. As a member of a church congregation, you may go and see the deacons. If you have personal problems, you may look for professional counseling or guidance, or you might go to the church or a friend. If you have legal problems, you might go to legal aid or see a lawyer. If your troubles are really serious, you may even turn to the Lord God in prayer. When you see no other way out, as many did during the Second World War. I read that, and I'm told that churches everywhere were overflowing. But tragically today, there are many, especially youth and older generation, who when they have no one and nowhere to turn with their problems, they will take their own lives, will commit suicide. The statistics are tragic. They do not know God. They may have heard of God, but they have never come to know who he is, what he is like, how much he loves them, even when no one else does. But you know, how can they know if no one tells them? Are you willing and prepared to talk to your children, your family, your friends about the Lord God Almighty? Now, troubles and difficulties come our way. They are part of life. So I was intrigued when I read this headline, "Where does the church go when itself is in trouble?" Well, how can a church find itself in trouble? After all, the church belongs to God, and God would not let troubles arise in His church. But, you know, they do. Some churches can have financial troubles because people are not contributing in the collections, or due to mismanagement of the funds. A church can be said to be in trouble if it has very few members or membership is declining, due to there being no spiritual life in the church. Churches can also have internal problems and troubles, strong disagreements, factions, people not willing to participate in the life of the church, people with their own personal agendas of how the church should function. Maybe you can think of other troubles a church can have. Well, perhaps you have been part of a church that was in serious trouble one way or another. So we come back to the question, where can the church go if it is in trouble? Well, in some denominations, because of its organization, governance, or hierarchy, other churches within the denomination may give material or financial aid where it is needed for a temporary period or perhaps indefinitely. There may be within the denomination others who could form a small group to counsel the troubled church. The church which has no spiritual life may seek to change the way they relate to the community around them so as to attract more members. They may make changes to the worship service to attract youth or young families. However, this may give way to greater problems internally, where some members of the congregation cannot adjust to the changes. Some of the new people who may come may not stay or attend only once or in a while. Others may continue to attend faithfully and sincerely want to grow in faith, but lack spiritual maturity and have no guidance because of the few membership. So when the church is in trouble, there is only one place to turn, and that is to the Lord God in prayer. And also turn or return to the truth in His Word, the Bible. In the Bible, we are told that God's Word is like a torch we might use to guide us along a dark track. It is a lamp to guide our feet and stops us from stumbling into things. So, what does the Bible say about the church? Well, in the New Testament, in Colossians, there we read that Christ is the head of the body, that is, the church. So, if Jesus Christ is the head, the members of the church are known as the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is a lengthy comparison between the body, meaning the church and our own physical bodies. Our bodies have many parts, and all the parts form one body. And God has arranged all the parts in the body as He wanted them to be, for example, the eye, the foot, the tongue. Each part has a function and is interrelated to the other part and dependent on each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. So it is in the church. The members are all part of the church body. We all have different gifts and talents, and the Lord has blessed us with, and He expects us to use them for the building up of the body, that is, encouraging, helping, guiding one another, but also to bring the light of the gospel, that is, the good news gospel of salvation we have in Jesus Christ, but not only in the church, to all men everywhere. It is called the Great Commission. We find this in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Where Jesus is talking to His disciples, He tells them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now, another thing, it is easy to stand back and criticize the church. Many people do, even those from within the church, because they can't get things to go their way, and also those looking on from the outside. I've often heard the comment, "Those bunch of hypocrites, who needs it? They say one thing but do another." Well, many years ago, I was one of those. You know, it's tragic that many of us who belong to the church are guilty of hypocrisy. As a matter of fact, from time to time, we are all hypocrites. For those of you looking on the church from the outside, I ask your forgiveness. It should not be. In doing so, we sin against the Lord, for we carry His name, and we also sin against you. But, you know, thanks be to God. The church belongs to the Lord God Almighty, and not to sinful man. As Christians, we go through a renewing process where our lives change and take on a new direction, a process whereby throughout our lives we continue to be transformed to be more Christ-like rather than follow the ways of the world, follow the ways of rebellion and sin. Our old values, behavior, attitudes, etc. are slowly withered away, sometimes in pain and with great difficulty, and are replaced to be more honouring to our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that in all things we are to reflect Him, that is Jesus Christ, more in our lives. So next time you attend a church or meet up with people who are part of the church, don't look at the people first and criticise, pointing out their shortcomings, and then use that as an excuse not to attend church. Look at the head of the church, not the minister who is only a man and part of the body, but look to the head, that is Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Look to his word, the Bible. So, you may ask, when a church is in trouble, do the people automatically turn to God in prayer and turn to the Bible for direction and guidance? Well, sadly, the answer is no, not always. Very often, men seek to solve church problems in their own way, rather than seeking and asking the Lord God. If the spiritual life of the church is in trouble, the people should not first just look for ways to attract more people to church, or look at other ways to entertain the people who are in church. Rather, they should firstly look at how faithful they are to God's word in the preaching and in the teaching. In fact, in how they live their very lives. I recently read an article in a Christian magazine which was dealing with the issue of whether the 6 days of creation, as written in Genesis chapter 1, meant 6 literal days of 24-hour periods or longer ages of millions of years. Well, some religious leaders asked, well, does it really matter? The answer is yes, definitely it does matter. And I quote from the article, "In many nations, the word of God was once widely respected and taken seriously. But once the door of compromise has been unlocked, once Christian leaders can see that we shouldn't take the Bible as written in Genesis, why should the world take heed of it in any area? Because the church has told the world that one can use man's interpretation of the creation, such as billions of years, to reinterpret the Bible. It is seen as an outdated, scientifically incorrect, holy book, not intended to be taken as it was written. Now, certainly since the 1920s, as each subsequent generation has pushed this door of compromise open further and further, increasingly they are not accepting the morality or salvation of the Bible either. After all, if the history in Genesis is not correct, as written, how can one be sure the rest can be taken as written? If the majority of Christian leaders and lay people within the church do not believe in the 6 literal days of creation, then I do believe this is a picture of a church in trouble. Rather than the church influencing the world has influenced the church. The authority of the Word of God is questioned by fallible and sinful man, who is himself part of the 6-day creation. What right do we have? What right does any man have to question the word of the Almighty, true and living God? It is sheer arrogance on man's part to think that he can understand how God created the world of which he is a part. It is arrogance to question God's word. The Bible is the infallible word of the Lord God Almighty. We accept this by faith. We are not on trial to prove it. Our commission is not to prove the Bible is the word of God. Christ calls us to preach the truth within it. And I encourage you to read God's word. Don't read it with an attitude of arrogance, but in prayer, ask the Lord God to reveal his truth to you through the power of his Holy Spirit. Become part of a faithful Bible-teaching church fellowship, that the seed of God's word may grow in fertile soil. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the Word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we read there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." And then in verse 14 we read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That means the Word, being Jesus Christ, came to this earth, was born as a baby. And we remember this as Christmas is looming. Therefore, the church needs to remain faithful to the Word, to Jesus Christ, and to God's Word, the Bible. A church in trouble is a church which is drifting away from the truth of God's Word. I'd like to urge you to read the Bible, not just when trouble strikes, but to read what God has written to us, to you, to me, by the hand of man and through the inspiration of His Holy Spirit. In Timothy chapter 2, we read there, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." The truth of the Bible as the Word of God is not at all affected by us as a sinner's response to it, nor is it subject to our approval. The Bible's authority as the Word of God is supreme. Let us take a moment in prayer. Lord, as we bow before you in prayer, we acknowledge you are mighty. The heavens are yours, and the earth also. You founded the world and all that is in it. You are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone, O Lord. We ask your forgiveness for the arrogance in our hearts to question you. Does the clay say to the potter, "Why do you do this or that? Or how did you manage that?" Forgive our doubts, and we ask your reassurance through your Holy Spirit, especially those listening today, that your Word is living and active. It is the truth. Lord, we pray for revival in this land, in this our broken land with its broken people. May we all be encouraged to read your Word and thus draw near to you, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way that we don't bring shame upon you through hypocrisy. May we strive to obey you, so that in all we say, think, and do, we will bring glory and honor to you. For you are to be exalted over all the earth. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Well, I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. The Lord willing, we will be back in 2 weeks at this time. This message will be repeated next Sunday at 1 p.m. Also, you can tune in on Sunday evenings at 10 p.m. to hear our programs. If you would like to comment, please give us a call. Our number is 0274-837-633. 0274-837-633. Now in Psalm 19, we read there, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. The Lord God has left his mark on the marvels of creation all around us for us to see. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So let us stand on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, while, as we look around us in our society, and perhaps in our own lives, we see sinking sand. So again, may we look to Jesus Christ, the captain of your soul, the creator of this world, the creator of the human race, the creator of all things, and praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness hides His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Through every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.